Brother Mark, can you be able to read, please, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
The first one is Luke 7, 44 through 47. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Second passage today, Luke 22, 54 through 62. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But then they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together. Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him," but he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. And the last passage today is John 21, 15 through 18. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go."
Time this happens, it feels so humbling because I know the man that's doing the speaking, and my feet are feet of clay at best. So it's a wonder to me that God would choose to speak His holy word to such an awesome group of people. And I don't say that to flatter. I say that because I was thinking. Oh, you can't hear me? I'm sorry. I'll speak up louder. I can't talk louder. How are we doing now, Rich? Okay. I say that it's humbling because I know that God wants to say something to people here. But the humbling thing is not that He wants to say it to you. The humbling thing is, He wants to say it through me. It's humbling. Because I know me. Well, God does too. We're going to talk about that later on. Okay? Now, thank you, Mark, wherever you went. Thank you for reading. The first thing Mark read about was when Jesus was at the home of Simon the leper, or Simon the Pharisee. And Jesus asked Simon the Pharisee, you ready for this?
a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question. No answer necessary, Simon. I'm going to ask you to make a point. And he takes a woman of sin that everybody had been dabbing about, and she was crying and moved with her hair brushing his feet off and everything. We've talked about this before. This is not the point of the message. It's one of the points. Of course, what happened here was that all the talk going on, Jesus stopped it. Says Simon, said he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? He said, do you see what she's done? Everything that love demands, she's done. None of it you've done. Yet you claim to love me. Okay, now, but here's the point. Simon, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? He didn't, basically, I think what in effect he was saying was, no, you don't. You don't see a thing about her, but I do. I see it all. Because he knew her good and he knew her sin. The good, he applauded. The sin, he didn't excuse, he forgave it. He said to her before he was done, your sins are, your many sins, not your sins, your many sins are forgiven. That's a huge difference. Because some of us know what many is, don't we, Brother Rick? We know what many sins is. When Jesus says, your many sins are forgiven, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you don't count them out and stop here, huh, Brother Cliff?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now, the second passage was on Simon Peter. Now, I just got to say something about my precious brother Jim. Hello, Brother Steve. My brother Jim, he teaches a bunch of us knuckleheads on Wednesday night. And one night there was a guy there, and there was a whole bunch of stuff going on, a whole bunch of drama. And Jim looks at this other fellow and he goes, you see what I'm trying to teach right here? He got a bunch of stuff, but it's such an awesome class. I have learned so much, and it's just so cool just sitting there, Jim. I appreciate you doing that, and it takes your time. I know it does. But one of the things we learned, we're going through a book about the 12 apostles and Jesus choosing his 12 apostles. The different personalities. They were knuckleheads just like us. And Jesus picked them out. And one of the chief knuckleheads was Peter. And Peter was literally the ringleader under Jesus of those 12 men. And why I want to talk about Peter is because Peter imploded. And Peter, and it all happened. This is, I hope I'm not wrong. This is my take on it, okay? Gospel according to John. Peter was the closest one to Jesus. Peter did not like Jesus. He didn't kind of love Jesus. Peter was fervent. Peter was like, yes! Do you love me? Yes! I love you, Lord. But what happened was that, like all people, Peter had a time. In fact, Jesus warned him of it. Jesus looked at him the night of the Last Supper. He said, Simon, he goes, a guy I know real well, used to live in my house, his name's Satan, has asked for you. He went to the Father. He wants you. You know why? Because he wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to just tear you down, beat you up, leave you laying in the street for dead. Period. Jesus said, but I pray for you, Simon, that your faith will stay strong. So anyway, the night starts out really good. It's the Last Supper. It's the Passover. Reminds me of church on Sunday morning. I was thinking about that this morning. I said, there's no place where I feel more excited than here. I mean, we come in, we meet each other, greet each other. Then the music starts up. I told Miss Connie every time her fingers tickle them ivories, the Holy Spirit descends.
Amen.
And this ain't that the truth? Yes. And then the music starts up, and all of a sudden, man, it's just building and building and building. And I'm like, God, I don't care what kind of week it was. God, I'm before you right now. And I just want worship. Like Ricky said, we put up with the crap all week long. Let's worship, man. So then we start singing. And then we start praying. And then the Bible gets read. It's built and built and built. The pastor gets up here and he starts breaking out with bread of life. And it's like, man, and that's what I think the Passover dinner was. Peter was with the boys. They'd been together for three and a half years. Jesus laid it all out and told them, go, there's a guy carrying a jar. He'll tell you where the room is. Go get it. They all sit down. So Jesus performs the washing of the feet. Peter's like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but you get away from these stinky things. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, I got nothing to do with you. But Peter, in his normal self, oh, God, throw a bucket of water on me then. And so that starts it out, right? Now they sit around the table and they're eating. Peter's talking. They go through the Savior. Now Rick has seen them by faith. I never went through one. I think they've done them here. I never went through one of them. But it's very symbolic. So they're going through all this, and Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. Now here's Peter, the ringleader. He knows nothing of this. And he's sitting there, and the Bible says, they started arguing amongst each other, talking amongst each other. What are you talking about? Who's going to do that, you know? So Peter, he goes and nudges John, who was sitting next to Jesus, and says, ask him who's going to do it, John. And pulls out the sock, the bread, puts it in the bowl, gives it to Judas. I wonder what Peter thought. Here's a man that was like, all man. And he's sitting with the one he loves the most, with some of the finest men. And here's this freaking creep. And he's going to sell out Jesus. I wonder what heavenly hands kept his keister on the seat and not on Judas's throat. You know what I'm saying? I really do. But anyway, see, now that's just the cracks in the foundation, okay, of Peter's life in this world. Okay? Now, they sing a song. They go to the garden. Jesus says, look, guys, my heart is disturbing to death. Pray with me. And he takes Peter, James, and John and says, you guys come with me. A little closer circle. He's praying for me, guys. He says, my heart's troubling to death. He fell asleep. Three times he went back, they were sitting. He says, that's all right, guys. It's about to end now anyway. Here comes this mob in this beautiful olive grove. They got their torches. And I learned from Jim's class that it wasn't just an angry mob. It was 600 of Rome's elite fighting forces that came with them. Now picture this, because this is our modern day world. We see pictures of guys pulling out pistols and a hail of gunfire from every direction but north, and down they go. Right? We've seen it on TV. It's almost a daily occurrence. Well, here's Peter. 600 of the men. Am I right, Jim? Plus an angry mob with their torches. And Peter, one lone man, pulls out some wham! Jesus takes it, puts it away. Peter stayed the time or place, man. Restores the year. But you see, Peter's, his world's starting like an engine, man. He's starting to get head of steam now, boy. He's like, this is craziness, man. You ain't taking that man nowhere. That ain't how it's going to roll. And then all of a sudden, they grab Jesus, the angry mob, and off they go. All the disciples, to the all corners of the wind. And Peter follows close. Well, not too close. Ends up in Caiaphas' yard, the backyard. About fire going on, Peter standing there. All four Gospels mention this. I don't know if it was a dig on Peter or what, but all four mention was a young girl. They cracked him. Every time it said, a young girl came up and says, you were with him? No, I wasn't. A little while later, standing in the room. Somebody else. Yeah, you were with him. No, I wasn't. Then he says, John says that the one, when he cut off the ear, was Malchus. And the man that was king of Malchus was there. And he was also at the olive grove when he saw it. And he goes, yeah, you were there, pal, because you're a Galilean. And Peter swore on everything that was holy and good. He got the wrong blankety-blank man, pal. And he's standing there. Now you see, you got to get, in my mind, this thing plays out like a Broadway show, man. I mean, it's just building, it's building, it's building, it's building. Jesus had told him, Peter, you love me? You'll deny me before the rooster crows 3 times. And so, but Peter caught up in the moment and everything's going on. And he's watching this man that he loves and he adores and they trust and believes in. And now they got him. And he's held there captive. Everybody else is gone. And he's caught up in the moment. He's done trying to pin somebody's head off. And now somebody tells him, you were with him? I was not. Were you crazy? And then the rooster crows. And in my mind, I could be all wrong. But I went down on a motorcycle one time at 65 miles an hour. And when that bike hit the road, I swear, time went to a standstill. It was like slow motion. And I firmly believe that when that rooster crowed, time just slowed down to a crawl. And all of a sudden, it turned in Peter's head. Peter starts looking. And Jesus, the Bible says it, Jesus was standing there. And it says this, Jesus looked directly at Peter. Can you feel that? Have you ever been in the crowd, running your mouth about somebody, and you were loud like me about it? Probably not, because nobody had that big a mouth. But you're talking. Yeah, you know something? Did you see the dress she came in the other day? And somebody's going, and you're like, well, it was stupid. It was ugly. And then all of a sudden, it's her. And she looks at you with all the hurt. How can you talk this way? Have you ever? I remember one time I hurt my mom. I hurt her feelings so bad. I said something stupid. I was a kid. I love my mom to death, but I said something stupid. And my mom looked at me, and she started crying. I was all over the kids. Mom, please don't cry. Mom, please stop crying. Mom, don't cry. Come on. I feel bad, all right? But Peter, Jesus looked right at Peter. And all of a sudden, it all came together. And it said, Peter wept bitterly. Did you ever weep bitterly? Yeah, I know people here have it. Because we come from a long, hard past. Most all of us. That little girl that Shelly mentioned, the other day, I came home on a Wednesday early. That never happens. I came home early on a Wednesday. Michelle said to me, the cops were here today, darn. They hauled home, say the boy's name, they hauled the boy off in cuffs. And then they hauled the girl off in the meat wagon, bloodied up. So she walks her over from the hospital at 4:30 in the morning, comes to our house, right to Michelle's arms. No surprise. So here we are celebrating this beautiful day. And I'm like, where's my wife? And here's my wife out in the street holding this girl who was crying so hard, couldn't catch her breath, sobbing. And they took the only two things that mattered most to her other than her home, her family, and that was her dogs. And this girl was sobbing so hard. And I looked at that. And I said, now that's crying. That's sorrow from the heart, from the soul. That's what Peter felt. He let his Lord down. How could I? What just happened if I could just turn back the hands of time? Jesus, I didn't mean it. Sweet. And I wondered, with what those eyes born at him, if even today, knowing he's a forgiven, loving man, I wonder if today, if he was still here, if there was that memory of those eyes. Okay. Peter, after all this went on, Peter one day says, the other guys are looking at him, where are you going?
We're going fishing. That's what I know. We'll go fishing. Be like Rick saying, I'm going to go selling cars. Something you know. Something you're good at. Something you make a living with. Ain't nothing else to worry about now. I ain't seen Jesus around in a while. And the way I screwed up, even if he did come around, I wouldn't blame him for not wanting to look at me. So they go fishing. Got there all night. And like all of us can attest, anytime you get out of God's will, and you try your own way, you ain't catching no fish. The water just, I mean, there'll be 8 feet of a circle with no fish in the whole ocean. It'll be right under your boat. So here's this guy's on the shore. And he goes, gentlemen, have you caught any fish? I won't say what I thought my first reaction would be from Peter, but that's all right. But anyway, they said, no. No, we didn't, as a matter of fact. And he goes, put your net on the right side of the boat. Okay? What do we do? And then all of a sudden, he can't pull the net. It starts to break his net. And John says, that's the Lord. Now, Peter, that's the first, the best I know. Okay? Now, I'm not a theologian. But the best I know, that was the first that Peter and Jesus crossed. Christian, is that accurate? Oh, okay, thank you. I wasn't sure. I should have asked you before, but I don't want to say something wrong up here. That's the first he had seen it. I don't know about you, but when I did somebody dirty, that's the last person I want to see, at least for a while. They said Peter jumped in the water, swam ashore. And when he got there, here was breakfast. Fish was cooking, bread was made. A little rabbit trail. We've all made breakfast, right? Pretty much all of us have made breakfast at one time or another. Everybody else is sleeping. You're all by yourself. Imagine. And the hands that made the bread and had big holes in them. The hands put the fish on the fry had big holes in them. But here's the good thing. This is what speaks to my heart. This breakfast was, I believe, mostly. I mean, Jesus always had more than one thing. He could cover a million miles with a single stride. But he had in mind, I'm going to talk to my man Peter today. And we're going to get this thing right. So Jesus comes swimming up the shore, says after they were done eating. I just wonder why he's eating. Everybody else is talking. Eating and everything. Look at Jesus. You know. And Peter's just kind of staring at his plate. That's what I picture, okay? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'd be that way. Bury my face in my plate, you know? Somehow Jesus got his attention. I wonder if again that nail-scarred hand came and pulled Peter's face up. Look at me, Peter. Look at me, Peter. He says, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter three times said, yes, you do. Yes, I do, Lord. Now, once did Jesus say, no, you don't. No, you don't, Peter. If you love me, you'd have kept the big trap shut back in the garden. Or you'd at least acknowledge that you knew me. How am I supposed to ever trust you again? I don't see that wrote in the Bible. Not mine, anyway. So, Jesus gets Peter's confession three times. Jesus, I love you. Not once did Jesus say, no, you don't. Didn't argue with him. He knew he did. Because when he looked at him, just like when he looked at the woman, he knew. And then he went on to tell Peter, not only do I want to hire you back again, I got a job for you. Feed my sheep, Peter. You got your job back, brother. But the other thing was, and just in case you wonder how far you're going to go with this thing, right now you're young, you put your clothes on, you go where you want. He said, but the day's coming, Peter, when you're going to be old, and somebody else will dress you, and you'll stretch out your hands, and they'll take you where you don't want to go. And one of your books, I
think it was in the book that Jim gave us. Peter was crucified upside down. Because he didn't want to even hang like his Lord. God, it's amazing to me. Okay. Now, basically what we have here is a bunch of facts. And facts plus brain equals knowledge. And the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. You just get a bigger head, more knowledge. Brain can't hold it all. But when it goes from about here to right about here, that's when things start shaking. Ain't that the truth, Paul? Uh-huh. The covered evidence will tell you that. Okay. So that distance. Please, God, let that fall right now from here to here. Okay. What does that say or mean to us in 2015? Okay. Peter imploded. Everybody imploded. Sooner or later. And Jesus restored it. But here's the thing. What Peter saw, what Peter experienced with Jesus, here's my point. It's happened right here. There were several of us that stood on the street in Ocean City, Maryland, and watched this little girl get run down by a motorcycle. And we watched her lay in that street as a Marine medic from Iraq jumped off his bike, ran up, and started feeling. He goes, "No pulse, no pulse, no pulse." And he started performing CPR. And we was praying. We was praying. We were standing there, man, praying. It was unbelievable, man. It was like the Holy Spirit was just like, am I right? It was crazy. And all of a sudden, you see her eyelids start to move. And this lady comes running up. She goes, "I'm a nurse, I'm a nurse, I'm a nurse." And she's jumping down there. She's doing this and that and everything else. And, "Oh, we're losing her. The eyes went back down. Pray, 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 guys, pray. Rick, what's the final outcome of that woman, brother?
I got a call from the insurance agent that was investigating the accident. And she was going through what I seen in the lab of the phone. And I hung up the phone and was like, darn it. I wanted to ask her about the girl. So I called her back and left a message. Said, "Would you call me? I want to know about the girl. If you can, that would be great. 5 minutes go by, just call me." I go, "What about the girl?" She goes, "Well, the guy's okay. He's still in the hospital. The one that was on his bike, she refused treatment that day. The other girl, I haven't talked to her, but 3 or 4 people in our office have talked to her. She got an offer to talk to her." And I was telling her, "Well, there was a group of 12 guys. We were around her. 5 of the other guys were around her praying. We're a church group, and we prayed for her, and God raised the dead." I said, "When that plane came off her, I seen her laying on the ground face down. That was a dead body."
Yep.
And that the thought went through my head, "That is a dead body." And she goes, and I said, "The guys got around her and prayed, and I seen her leg move, and I said, God raised the woman from the dead."
Amen.
The girl on the front seat. Oh, yeah, okay.
See,
they're going to be the same. But
yeah.
That was the outcome of it. So we're
going to
see that
growing. Yes, we will. So, thanks, brother. So we've seen people raised from the dead. We've seen people healed in here. We've seen the captives set free. Most of us have been captives. At one point or another, set free or being set free as we speak. We've all done what Peter did. Peter confessed in the boat, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Lord, depart from me. God, don't even look at me, God. Don't look at me, God, please." And he's also confessed, we have. When Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" We say, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God, and you're my Lord." Now, my point. If we're like Peter, A, B, C, D, E, and there's only F left. F being when we mess up, Jesus restores us and loves us. He sees us for what we are. He sees the bad. And he don't excuse it. He forgives it.
Amen.
But he also restores us. So for those of us who may be struggling with something, I don't know. I have no clue what any of us put up with in our daily lives. None of us really do. If we did, we probably would never stop praying. Because we tear our hearts up to know that brothers and sisters are hurting like they are. Jesus knows. Jesus sees. Jesus loves. Okay. I think the best thing right now, I'd like to close with prayer. And then we'll be dismissed, okay? Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for having a plan for our lives. Thank you for being more than willing, eager to restore us. And like Isaiah says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be like wool. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that Jesus said that, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You'll find rest for your souls. Father, help us this week. You have a plan for our lives, Father. You have a plan. You have a job, just like Peter. You've given us a job. Feed my sheep. Father, thank you for this day, this time. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.